here. We got a great contractor working on this job. It's a joint venture of Ken Kramer. They bid, as part of their bid, this innovative concept using a gantry-type system to install the beams, these new beams that are going in into the structure. And we were really excited about getting this innovative way to build this bridge into this contract, because it's going to allow us to keep the six lanes open that we have out there today with no impacts to the traffic. It's also going to allow, it's allowing these beams to be delivered directly to the site at any time. So even during the daytime, it's not interrupting the traffic flow. We don't need temporary lane closures. You know, to normally we bring the trucks up with the beams, we have to close the lane down, we lift the beams off and bring it into the construction work zone. They can actually drive right into the construction work zone. And it's eliminating two of the longitudinal joints on this bridge structure. We had designed it with three. They came up with this innovative construction method. They cut it down to one. These joints, even though we build this infrastructure and these bridges to last 50, 70 years, the joints always fall apart in record time. It's, you know, less than 10 years. So I don't like being out there disturbing traffic, you know, to repair the joints any more frequently than we need to. And this is going to help us. This is going to reduce our future maintenance costs on these bridges. So this 90-second, I know you want to see this video. I want to see it too. So the 90-second video is going to show you everything. All the work that occurred between November 7th and the 26th. We installed 24 beams during this time period over 8 spans. They built the 7 new piers and the 2 new abutments. You'll see at the beginning of this...
We should have been loading this while you were speaking earlier.
Yeah.
There we go.
You'll see a lot of activity underneath the bridge to start. Cranes, workers, building the new piers and abutments. You know, we're going down from 14 piers to 7 piers. That's a fantastic improvement right there. Also at the beginning here, they're assembling these gantries. You see these overhead gantries here. There's 3 of them, 80 feet wide, 27 feet tall. They're placed on top of the new piers that they built. What you should take away from this is traffic is going by continuously in its existing 3 lanes in each direction. I think that's fantastic. The hoists on this gantry, they're rated at 50 tons. They're erecting 3 beams in a series, you'll see. You'll begin to see here. You see the beams starting to come in to play here. They're going to go all the way across the river. The gantry system, there's 3 of them, and they kind of leapfrog it forward. You know, as soon as they complete one section, they move one up, so they always have 2 available to do the lifting. They're lifting these huge beams. They're 7.5 feet tall. These are really major structural elements here. They range in length from 150 feet to 170 feet. They range in weight from 171,000 pounds to 195,000 pounds. They're delivering these beams. Maybe we can show it again. They're delivering these beams from Janesville, Wisconsin. That's where the fabrication plant is at. 65 miles. It gets a police escort, comes right down I-90, drives right into the work zone. The beams are 40 feet above the river. That's how tall the structure is here. Thus far, we've done 24 beams. They were able to knock this out right before winter, as I mentioned, between November 7th and 24th. They're going to be installing 144 of these beams altogether, so it's significant that they're getting this head start and getting this going. 48 remaining to be installed on the eastbound direction, 72 on the westbound. They have disassembled this gantry system now, put it away for the winter. They'll reinstall it again next year when they start up again. You see how they're leapfrogging the gantry there. You keep moving the furthest east one in front of the rest and moving it further to the west. It's a really slick system. And we have this construction camera out there, So we are filming the whole operation. So we're going to have a nice video record of this when we finish.
And can we tune in anytime?
And you can see it online.
Wow.
Anytime.
Almost as exciting as Jay Cutler.
Do not insult our Fox River Bridge project. I meant the news is equally important as the news about Jay Cutler.
It talks about the same too, don't they?
Thank you, Paul. No more comments.
thank you.
Okay, great.
And now I'd like to ask Shauna to come up and talk a little bit about this IPAC sale that we've been having, which has been tremendously successful. More than 87% of all toll transactions are paid electronically now. But we did hear when we were planning for the 294-57 project and we were doing some focus groups really to understand people's reaction to the signage that we were going to be using for this all-electronic interchange, because it was the first time that we had built an interchange of that size and scale that would be all-electronic. But one of the things that we heard back from people who were users of the tollway but maybe infrequent, couple times a month users, was that they felt it was too expensive to, you know, purchase an IPAS. They didn't want to have a $40 balance. They didn't, you know, use the tollway that frequently, and that it was a barrier to entry for them. So we decided to have a sale. It has been successful beyond, I think, our wildest expectations, certainly mine. And today, we're asking you to consider making the current reduced cost permanent, but we wanted to walk through some of the what we've learned through this process of having this sale and the response, the customer response to it. So, Shauna?
Hello, good morning. Glad to be back to talk about this topic again, because it really has been a success. I wanted to remind everybody that the basics of what the sale did encompass. October 1st through December 31st, 2014 is the time frame, so it's ongoing right now, but we're trailing here to the end. The cost structure, there were three major components. First was that we originally had a differential in the deposit that we kept for transponders. So when somebody gets a transponder to open a new account or gets a new transponder on an existing account, if that account was replenished manually, meaning they went online or they would send us a check or they would come in and actually replenish their accounts whenever they wanted to, or kept very close tabs on what they were spending, we would charge a $20 deposit for the transponder. And then people who would auto-replenish with a credit card, which is actually the majority of our customers, we would charge a $10 deposit for the credit card. So the first part of this was making sure that everybody had the chance to have just a $10 deposit on their transponder, kind of equaling, leveling the playing ground. The second item was how much you had to open an account with for your balance. Your prepaid balance originally had to be 40, and the sale reduced that to 20. And then we did offer everybody, including existing customers, the chance to opt in to a $20 auto replenishment rate versus the typical $40 auto replenishment rate. We did change the deposit, like we said, for all customers. So those who did have $20 deposits for those transponders were changed to $10 deposits, and that $10 was applied to the account balances. And we did have a number of existing customers call in who said they would prefer $20 replenishment. So what does success look like? More than 28,000 accounts have been opened since October 1st. That have opted in to the sale program pricing. So 28,000 people have participated in this so far, just since October 1st.
Opened accounts. Yeah. So these are new accounts, right?
Yeah, new accounts, correct. And we think, in our estimates, this is about 30% more than what would have been opened during the same time frame, say last year. So we have been seeing an almost 30% increase in the number of people coming to open accounts just because we had this sale. It's wonderful. It means that people who originally thought that perhaps it was too hard or too difficult or too unpleasant to have an IPAS account are now joining the program. And then we've had more than 58,000 existing IPAS customers call in to lower their auto replenishment from 40 to 20. We did conduct a survey, and we wanted to see of those people who participated what drew them to the program. So the vast majority did say they were going to join IPAS regardless. So that's great. It means that we are continuing to see the same people that we would have seen, and they are getting a benefit as well. But there were a big number here who really, really participated in the sale because it was extremely motivating. Some say they would not have been able to afford it. So almost 17% said they couldn't afford, who participated in the survey, almost 17% said they wouldn't have been able to afford it without the sale. And then almost about another 26% said that the sale was a determining factor in their participation. Some other findings from the survey, about 50% of the respondents reported being aware of the sale. So the interesting thing there to me is that a sale does motivate people to come join, even if they're not consciously aware that there is a sale. There is, that's part of marketing in a way, but it drew more than just the people who were excited by the lower cost. It drew everybody, and that's something significant. More than 45% of respondents indicated that they're infrequent travelers. They use the tollway less than every month, so that means the sale brought in some of the people who had possibly been hanging out on the sidelines because they didn't want to keep such a big balance because they weren't going to drive that often. More than 35% of respondents indicated that they now plan to use the tollway more frequently. It kind of sets them free, so it's great to bring people into the program. And approximately 8% of the respondents indicated that the new all-electronic interchange was a motivating factor. So some of the conclusions that we've been drawing to this point, again, since October 1st, the IPAS sale motivated people to open IPAS accounts even when the cost was not a direct factor in the participation. That's kind of what I pointed to earlier. People come to a sale even if they're not consciously aware that it's a sale. The discounted cost of opening a new account made IPAS more accessible and more attractive. The IPAS sale achieved strong results with advertising that was not over the top. I mean, we did advertise, and we put it through all our standard things, and we did have, around the all-electronic interchange, some additional advertising for that area, but we didn't have to take out giant TV ads or anything like that. People heard about it, knew about it, and they came. And then the IPAS sale, we believe, might continue to contribute to an increase in the volume of electronic payments, which is good news for us. That is the best way for us to collect tolls. So, as Christy said, we are recommending, based on this experience, that we actually make these changes permanent, that we go ahead and we make this pricing something that is accessible to everybody, and we actually extend it through the Jewel, Osco, and Ranger locations. Which it had not been available during the IPAS sale time. It was only available for if you called in or walked in. But this would actually make it something that would be the standard practice for everybody.
Thank you. Questions or comments on this?
Sean, I just had one quick question on your last slide there, that last conclusion, in terms of might contribute to expanding the revenues of the tollway. Is there a way you'll quantify that at some point, or do you plan on it?
We are constantly looking at our revenues and why they're coming in and how they're increasing in terms of the different channels and everything. So we will see it over time. We could specifically report back on that.
Yeah, we could take a look. It might be difficult since these were previously cash-paying customers to see, you know, other than through surveys, to actually quantify how much, if they're using the tollway more frequently now that they have IPAS, because we don't, you know, when they're cash-paying customers, you know, you don't have, obviously, the ability to track. But we will certainly do what we can kind of from an overall picture to track, as Shauna said. And I think one of the nice things that we found with making this change and, you know, Mike, I would ask you to weigh in on this, is that we don't see this as any major impact to our bottom line,
no,
necessarily. You know, these lowering these amounts, you know, hasn't really significantly impacted our bottom line, but clearly has been well received by the public. So
that was the question that I had asked when I previewed this, which is whether we actually have return on investment for the money that we have for the deposits.
We do receive investment return on the deposits in the escrow. Returns, as you know, are pretty small at this point. That's really a minor, very minor impact on revenue investment.
Anybody else have any questions on this?
So we don't need a formal vote, but we wanted to get some sense of whether the board was comfortable with making the change permanent. We had talked about it as a sale with a finite period of time, but, you know, we put in the programming costs and the extra effort now to change the system, and, you know, obviously we're continuing to get a good response. So if there's not any concern about it, we'll just plan to continue the lower levels.
Feels like a consensus. Happy holidays to our customers. Yes. Our potential customers, too.
Right. Good.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
Good. So we actually staffed a lot of important presentations today. So we've got one more, or I have one more, and I wanted to walk through this myself.
Were you going to do the budget?
Oh, the budget.
I'm sorry.
We have two more. Be quick, Mike. Because this is, by the way, the third time we heard this. The 2015 budget. I'm so sorry. The 2015 budget, much anticipated. This is the final budget approval. I don't know how much more needs to be discussed here, but certainly Mike can point to any areas where, you know, if we've made changes in particular, we'll draw your attention to those.
Well, like Paul, I have a prop this morning.
Next year,
we're going to time lapse video of the budget preparation process. All right, so as you, Christy mentioned, you've seen this information, I think, several times now. We're seeking final approval of the 2015 budget this morning. As a reminder, revenues are continuing to grow as anticipated in our long-term financial plan as forecast by CDM Smith. There's about a 14% increase in revenue, largely reflecting the commercial vehicle toll increase that was previously approved in 2008, and of course provides funding for infrastructure largely. About 70%, actually more than 70% of our revenue is allocated either to pay debt service on bonds that were issued to finance infrastructure or to directly fund infrastructure. So you can see that $1,170 million is allocated, $311 million to maintenance and operations, $362 million for debt service, and $497 million for direct contributions to the capital program. It is a record capital program again this year. In 2015, it's the fourth year of Moodle, Illinois, a total of $1.6 billion in planned investments in 2015. As I mentioned, the revenue increase, operating costs are held to a 3.9% growth, which is within the 4% target that we had for our long-term financial plan, and we will be issuing about $800 million of new bonds also to provide funding for that record capital investment next year. One change that we've had over the last couple of months, which is one that we've become accustomed to, is a change by the state employees' retirement system on the projected employer retirement contribution. And it will impact this budget by requiring a reallocation from wages and salaries lines of about $1.3 million to the retirement line. And this will have some impact on departments in that positions that are vacant or will become vacant during the year, they may need to wait a little longer before filling those positions in order to stay within budget, but we think we can accommodate that within what's allocated, the bottom line. And that's it in brief. So, any questions?
Questions? We had a few minutes before. Mike, you might mention we actually closed on the bonds this week. We signed yesterday.
We did, and we're actually doing a, we closed on the new money issue last week, and then this morning, actually, Bill is, and our team, finance team, is closing on the new funding transaction. So that was done recently.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Okay, any questions on that?
Now, the presentation, I guess I was too excited to get to. And I know you will be equally excited to see leveraging technology to enhance customer service. I think that we've talked a little bit about some initiatives and new features that we've been pursuing, but I know we've not kind of gone over it in total. And I, if we could advance to the okay. I have occasion, I don't do it very often, but I do have a chance to travel and attend some national conferences for the industry because of my position on the board for the toll association, for the various tollways around the country. And one of the trends that is being discussed and a hot topic, I know it's a painful but I think apropos visual, is that millennials, so this generation that, you know, between 1980 and the mid-2000s have been born between these years, you know, are now the largest generation in the U.S. And they are the most educated generation to date, and this picture doesn't lie. It's as if they were born with a smartphone in their hands because it's such a part of their daily lives. They have never, in their formative years at least, not had access to the internet, if I can use a double negative. So they've always had access to information at a, you know, click of a mouse, touch their fingers, answer any question that they needed an answer to. 75% have an account on social networking sites, and 25% believe that their relationship to technology is what makes their generation unique. So this is something that the various toll roads around the country are seeing as a real sea change. And I think that it means for us, as the operator of a big entity and a large roadway, we need to think creatively about how we should be changing the way we deliver our service. It was interesting that one discussion that we had from a futurist for kind of commercial and retail, the commercial retail industry said that, you know, advances going forward are going to be less about an actual change in the service or even a change in the product and more about a change in how it's delivered. So Amazon being able to get you products within an hour of you placing an order in some parts of the country. Uber, which hasn't necessarily changed, you know, taxes if you get in a car that's not your own and move to a new location, but it's a difference in the delivery of the service. And that this new generation has changed the demands, or has changed the way we need to think about delivering the services that we have. And tollway customers want technology. I mean, we see from our Twitter followers, which have increased, skyrocketed over 300% since we started that service in 2012. And, you know, 40% of iPass customers opt to receive our tollway news via email. More and more people are using smartphones online and interacting with us in that way. Here you can see the percentage of users who are expected to access the tollway's website from their smartphone or tablet in the years, not only 2014, but in the years to come. So again, continued growth in this area. So we want to keep up with not only, you know, the existing tollway users, but our next generation of users, these millennials, and several new projects are under development to do that. We have mobile applications, a hands-free and eyes-free travel application, smartphone tolling application, and new website features and enhancements that I wanted to go over with all of you, and I know we'll discuss in more detail as we decide whether or not to make them permanent. The first is a technology that we're piloting that we are calling, working title, I guess, of Safe Trip. You know, the challenge that many drivers face and that we face, of course, is that using your mobile phones while driving is unsafe. This is not news. But it is unsafe, particularly handheld mobile phones. And, of course, now state law actually bans the use of handheld cell phones while driving in Illinois. But many people are using their smartphones to get information about travel times. So we are developing, or piloting, I should say, a new application that actually broadcasts alerts audio. And I think we've got some audio. Do
in
I just...
The next slide.
In the next slide, okay. That you'll be able to hear... what this is going to look like.
Travel 508 fresh. Width of Meacham Road, mile post 66.5, one right lane block to 4. Travel advisory update, I-90 eastbound, crash. Width of Meacham Road, mile post 66.5, all lanes are now open.
Our announcer makes a crash sound much more pleasant than it actually is. But we do have employees, 30 tollway employees, who have started to pilot this for both Android and iPhone devices. You know, multiple data sources feed into this, but ultimately we would like to make this available for users on our system. And the next step is really to launch phase two of the pilot, which would include some members of the general public to provide feedback. This is where I think we'll want to expand and get, you know, driver feedback from people who are not tollway employees or not familiar with the tollway system. We'll be opening up registration, I believe, in January, so that we can start to pilot this with the general public or certain users in the general public in late January. And it's really very exciting. There are a couple of other places around the country that have this technology, but we think that it's very important to start implementing it here and seeing what we can provide to our customers. The next new technology is also exciting. I dare say maybe even more exciting than the last one, and that is mobile and smartphone tolling applications. The tollway has, you know, we acknowledge that not everybody is going to get an iPass. Now, clearly, we're trying to make it easier for people to get iPass, but not everybody is going to get an iPass. There are visitors who are coming in from outside of Illinois who are going to be using the tollway system. They don't have tollways in their state. They don't have a reason to have an iPass or an account, or just other, you know, infrequent users of the tollway system. So we think that this smartphone tolling application that we are developing, and it will be one of the first of its kind in the country, we're one of the first agencies to pilot this smartphone tolling app, is really going to be an opportunity for us to meet the demands of this segment of our motorists. So it runs in the background of your smartphone. I actually have it on mine right now, and you just keep it on, and it will, we've set up kind of a GPS activates it as you are traveling across the toll road system and you go through gantries. It's actually, because those gantries are mapped on a GPS system, that it's activated. It's really cutting edge. Again, we are one of only a few roadway agencies in the country that are doing anything like this. And we're able to do this. This is Accenture smartphone tolling app. Ultimately, we would like to make sure that we can, and our new back office system can work with any smartphone applications that may be developed, but it's very exciting. Here you can see it on the screen. Thus far, we've had some very promising results. One of the concerns that we had, honestly, in addition to the employees who are piloting it, we actually have people out just driving on the roads with smartphones. Over 4,000 miles of driving have occurred where we're testing this application. But one of the things that we were concerned about was battery consumption, given that this was a GPS-activated tolling app. That has not been as bad as we thought that it would be, and I think it shows real promise as kind of a guest pass. So we don't see it as necessarily, at this point, a replacement for an iPass and an account, but a guest pass on our system. There are only, I think, four other roadway agencies in the country that are doing anything with smartphone tolling that we are aware of. And they're not doing something necessarily that is a collection of real-time tolls, so post-payment or other functions, but this is, to our knowledge at least, one of the first of its kind to collect real-time tolls with smartphones.
Kristen?
Yep.
What happens, or how does it handle the situation where you're in a car as the passenger or as a guest, yeah, in a car that already has iPass or somebody else that's using the application? It's running in the background all the time.
So Shauna can offer more detail, but one of the reasons that we are piloting it is to see how we can see that in the new system. So again, it's not actually, this application's not actually collecting tolls at this point in time, but there would be a way to detect if, you know, there was, you know, two tolls being collected at the exact same time in a vehicle. So we will be able to see that in the system as we reconcile tolls. Shauna, do you want to explain a little more thoroughly how that's going to work?
There will be most likely an opportunity to use data, as Christy said, to help determine that. I mean, right now we actually find duplicate transactions that we make sure don't get through, even during the transponders. I mean, you just build logic in. But you do bring up the point of just general customer service, and part of the bleeding edge is learning all the different things the customers might experience and how we're going to deal with them. So in that example, one of the ways that we've been kind of talking through is whether or not you have the customer actually confirm the tolls. Do they just pass right through passively like a transponder, or do they get an email that says,
eventually,
yes, it's me,
the tolls.
I confirm.
Yeah. Or I can split the check.
So it's not as if this, this is a journey. It's a journey.
Well,
so this is sort of question.
You're assuming the app is running in the background all the time. They don't close your app, so you
absolutely
it will only be the person who left it on, incidentally. So it'll be one of those issues.
But if you have a transponder in your car and somebody with you has the app running in the back of their phone, right. I mean, that's a right,
that's also.
I'm more curious, given the GPS aspect to it, has there been some customer pushback on a privacy issue? Because we're looking at a similar app to do something else, and I was just wondering if there's some data on that.
I mean, you opt in, so if you are worried about privacy, you wouldn't opt in. I mean, and I do think that we receive similar comments about the transponders.
Right, because clearly we can tell where you've been and at what time with the transponder information. And we've actually taken steps through the General Assembly to protect some of that information so that we can protect privacy, because the FOIA laws, which we support in the state, but we did want some limitations when it came to, you know, protecting people's privacy of their locations and times and things like that. But, you know, clearly all of those are things that we'll have to work through, and people ultimately, as Shauna said, will have to make a proactive choice. If we decide that this is a technology that we want to offer more broadly, people will have to make a choice to opt into it and decide if they want to, and for those individuals, they'll be certainly aware that the GPS system is working.
Well, given the GPS system, are there systems out there with some tolls that are basing, instead of a toll, but a miles traveled on the tollway, based on the GPS monitoring of your soul, a penny
and
a half per mile, or anything like that, to get around the whole toll infrastructure expenses? Seems like a national development that would occur.
To our knowledge, no. This is very, very cutting edge. There's
nothing with GPS. I mean, there are some toll road systems that are familiar with them, where you pull a ticket and depending on where you get off, you pay a different rate. And you know, but from the perspective of a smartphone with GPS and that tracking, it may be available, because I know that there are states that are looking to transition to vehicle.
The Oregon system is what I think about with a transponder that's in the vehicle, GPS based, and you're paying per mile you drive. You can do the same thing by eliminating, it would only charge you while you're on the tollway based on this. And just looking at the future, getting around the expenses of the infrastructure of the toll system.
Wasn't that part of the presentation at the Earth Day Summit 2 years ago from Sweden?
Kind of cordon tolling.
And I think the model. Portland, they actually did a pilot where you deposited a certain amount of money in your account, and the state put a certain amount of money in your account, and they were trying to reduce driving, so you got to keep at the end whatever you hadn't used in your GPS mileage measurement, and they purported to cut down on driving.
Well, I know the state of Oregon, they got I think it's 5,000 vehicle experiments going on right now based on GPS to do the same thing. The software is there to monitor it. So.
That's exciting. Certainly, it's great that we're
ultimately, if we decided to change our tolling model, you know, technology is maybe going to be able to, it will enable us to do that more easily. I mean, that's not something that we've contemplated at this point, obviously. And then the new website improvements, just briefly, you'll see here some new account management. this video is really long, so maybe we can just show you the beginning of it, and then I'll move on. But this will be, you know, one of the complaints that we do get is still that our account online account management is a little bit clunky. So with the new tolling system, we'll have, I think, a more streamlined, easier to access, easier to manage account management system. You can see here somebody using a tablet, which many people do nowadays, and kind of navigating through adding or updating credit card information. You can see here the account balance that's available, and just generally managing your account online. When we get our new back office system in place, we will be able to implement, this will be kind of the customer focused side of that. So people won't have to change out their transponders, they won't have to do anything. But, you know, at some point late next year, ideally they'll have this new functionality that they can more easily manage their accounts online and access that information. I hope I'm not going to screw this up by just advancing. But the next phase of that is something that we will want to talk to you and involve you with a little bit more is, you know, our 7 days to pay function, which is the post-pay function, is becoming much more popular. You can see here the tremendous growth from 2009 until today of the number of transactions and people who are using this post-pay function to pay their tolls. So they are going through the open road lanes and they're coming back later and paying online. And it's also, you know, $3.5 million in tolls, not an insignificant amount of money, are paid this way. Obviously, in the grand scheme of all of our revenue, it's a fairly small portion, but more and more people, in fact, of the people who are post-paying, 85% are paying their what we call grace period toll payments online. So we really, I think this is, when we think about website and functionality, the next thing that we need to do, really figure out a better way for people to use this system. I still get, although we've made some improvements, still get some complaints about that it's difficult to navigate, difficult to figure out. There will be new functionality in the system for a license plate search feature, so you can just put your license plate number in and it will pull up the tolls that you've missed according to our records, which will make it a lot easier for people who've missed transactions to avoid violations. And ultimately, we would prefer not to send out violations to people, but actually get them to pay.
Can we quantify what the increase in the people paying online has saved us in terms of the whole violation process?
We can. I don't have the number, but we absolutely will be able to do that.
Good.
Relative to just letting violations accrue, right. So we'll get back to you with that number. So just some interesting facts. I found the most interesting one that last month the UN announced that more people in the world have mobile phones than a toilet, which was unbelievable to me, but goes to show you how important this technology is and what an integral part of people's lives it's become. So we are prepared for millennials and we're prepared for whatever's coming next.
Great. Questions, comments? Any board members want to be guinea pigs? See Christy or Rob?
Yep.
You don't have to give up your toilet. You're going to have to give up your smartphone for a short period of time. Okay, great. Thank you very much, Christy.
Thank you.
So I think now we're going to turn to the consent agenda, and Director Peterson has a motion that he wants to introduce.
Not a motion.
Caveat or something?
Caveat. Before asking for a motion to approve the engineering items appearing on the consent agenda today, staff has requested that I mention with respect to engineering items number 22, Director Darcy's intended recusal was inadvertently not reflected on the Finance Administration and Operations Committee meeting agenda, as is the board's custom. As a result, the recusal was not identified and recorded at the time of the FAO committee voted to move this item to the consent agenda. There were sufficient other affirmative votes in the committee to move the item to today's consent agenda. Director Darcy did, in fact, recuse himself from the original vote that awarded this contract in 2013, and the board records clearly reflect that. For today's meeting, his recusal was included on the publicly posted agenda. If there are no questions, I would recommend that the board move forward with approval of this final release of retainage per the chief engineer's report that all work has been completed in satisfaction of the tollway.
Thank you. And the recusal is reflected here. Okay, thank you. As I always say, the consent agenda has been reviewed, as you can hear, thoroughly. In the committees first, there's been a lot of discussion and questions, but we're always open to additional questions here if any of the members who are not at those committee hearings would like to ask them. And I believe that we can take the finance, the two finance committee items. Are there any questions or concerns about those? May I hear a motion, please?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? Any recuses? The motion passes. I think we can take all three of the procurement agendas as items as well. Any questions on those? May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No recusals, no abstentions. The motion passes. Engineering, I believe we can take 1 through 6. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? No recusals and no abstentions. And I believe 7, 8, and 9 will be presented now. And, oh, and 10, thank you. And 9, there is a recusal by Trustee Darcy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The next four items are all construction management contracts that we finalized negotiations since the FAO committee meeting. So I didn't have the numbers, so I couldn't bring them to the FAO. So I really appreciate the opportunity to present these today. We want these construction managers on board because they are going to be overseeing this upcoming I-90 East construction work, which we're also awarding at today's board meeting. So these negotiated fees for the CM contracts typically range between 7% and 11% of the overall construction costs. The construction budgets were set back in May of 2014. We did it based off the preliminary plans we had at that time. We now have final plans for the 2015 work because we just awarded those construction contracts, and we're still estimating what they're going to do in 2016. All these contracts are going to provide us with on-site inspection and verification of the contractor's work. That's very important to the tollway. And all these CM contracts are going to oversee one contract in 2015 and one contract in 2016. Item 7, then. Correct. Thank you. It's a professional service contract for construction management services and associated. It's associated with our roadway retaining wall and bridge reconstruction and widening efforts on I-90 East between Illinois Route 53 and Arlington Heights Road. Award is recommended to Alfred Benish & Company in the amount of $9,005,385.23. They have proposed a Mentor Protege agreement with GSG Consultants and also with Angelo Construction Services. Angelo Construction Services is a MDBE firm, and they are also utilizing Juno Associates for the first time in a tollway contract, and Juno Associates is a veterans-owned firm. They've committed to exceeding our DBE goal on this contract and meet the veterans participation goal. Item 8, very similar, just another section down the road. This is a CM contract for widening on I-90 East. It's between the Elgin Toll Plaza and Fox River. Award is recommended to STD in the amount of $5,454,623.10. They have a Mentor Protege agreement with Lakeshore Agreement, who will serve on the tollway contract for a first time. And they're committing to exceed our DB goal, and they also are meeting our veterans goal. Item 9, very similar. It's a CM contract for I-90 East roadway widening and reconstruction on the Jane Adams Memorial Tollway. Award is recommended to DCP Tollway Partners. That's a joint venture of Christopher Burke, Bowman and Barrett, and the MBE firm, Premier and Associates. The amount of this contract is $9,499,522.57. They also have a Manaporge, Christopher Albano. They are MWDD firm, and they also have a veteran-owned firm that they'll be using, Frega Associates, who will serve on the tollway contract for the first time. They committed to exceed our DB goal on this contract and meet our veterans' goal. Item 10 is a professional service contract for construction management, I-90 East. Award is recommended to Knight AE in the amount of $10,106,663.97. They also have a Manaporge agreement with the DME firm Comprehensive Construction Consultants. They are committing to exceed our DB goal, and they are meeting our veterans goal. So I really know all of these contracts are highly complex roadway work that they're going to be overseeing for us. We don't do anything more difficult than these contracts. We are very happy with the qualifications of these firms, and I'm also happy that on every one of them they're exceeding what we asked them to meet as the goal for our DBE, and also this is the first time we've had veterans goals on professional service contracts, and they all stepped up and met those also.
You had several subs on here. I just want to make sure that you're comfortable with their capacity to do the work. There's two or three subs that are on three of the four professional service contracts being awarded. And just worry about their capacity as far as having the A-team on those CM sites versus, not the best on those sites.
And we select all these firms in accordance with the Qualification Based Selection Act, and that is one of the things that gets evaluated. We look at their ability and capacity to do this work. That's one of the criteria, and it considers the subs that they're involving in it. So yes, we're comfortable.
Do you get resumes on the subs?
We do get resumes on all the key personnel, and we do get cut sheets on all previous work that these firms have done, and that too is part of the evaluation.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions? Yes, Director
Lesman. Paul, I think you indicated that the fees here would range from 7 to 11% of the cost of the project.
That's correct.
And that doesn't sound like a wide swing, but actually 11% is over 50% higher than the percentage of the project cost than 7. And so could you explain a little bit about why there would be that range or that difference?
Sure. And throughout the negotiation process, these are all the typical items that are included in these negotiations. So the whole selection process is really a two-step process. First, we select them based on qualifications, and then the second step is we're allowed to sit down with the most qualified firm, and we begin to discuss their scope of work, and we begin to have a conversation on how they're going to do it and what kind of requirements they'll need to actually perform these services for. So the items we consider are, of course, the size of the construction contract. So when I say 7 to 11%, that's really in reference to the size of the construction work that they're going to be overseeing. But there's a variance in the type of construction work that they actually do, and we also consider the number of contracts they're going to have to oversee, because each contract is going to have a lead person on it, and they're going to have to have, they're going to be doing additional coordination with additional contractors. The type of construction is looked at. We know that contracts that involve a lot of bridge work, there's a lot more going on those bridges. They require a lot more inspection and a lot more oversight. So those will typically have a little higher percentages involved. And we also look at the number of maintenance and traffic stages. I had one contract that I presented today, and I forget which one, but that was the driving force behind it. It's the one between the Illinois 31 interchange and the Fox River Bridge. We're doing a lot of complicated stage changes there because we're coordinating with the bridge work, and we're also coordinating that interchange traffic. So they, through discussion of the scope of work with the consultant, we laid out exactly what we expect of them and what they felt would be the best way to meet our needs, and that's how we arrived at the final amount. But those are the typical items that are considered. And that's why we couldn't necessarily be ready at the FAO, although we really wanted to. I wanted our folks and their folks to sit down and do a very thorough review and make sure that they were all comfortable with it before I brought it to the board.
Thank you. I just want to understand all the factors that go into that.
Maybe someday we can get a tutorial. We can sit down with two contracts and just ask Paul to walk through both of the variables.
And that was a long answer, but really that 7 to 11 is just a rough shot of a percentage of the construction value that they're going to oversee.
And the complexity of the work really affects how, where you end up in the negotiation.
Correct.
Thank you. That was a good question, good discussion. So I think we can take 7 and 8, unless there are other questions. May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No recusals, no abstentions. Number 9, there is a recusal from Director Darcy. May I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No recusal from Director Darcy. Any abstentions? Number 10? 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Any questions on those? May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Recusals or abstentions? Number 20, there's a recusal from Director Sweeney. May I hear a motion?
Motion approved.
Second? Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Recusal for Director Sweeney, no abstentions. We can do 21. May I hear a motion, please?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No abstentions, no recusals. Number 22, we have a recusal from Director Darcy. May I hear a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We have a recusal from Director Darcy, no abstentions. Number 23 will be taken up in executive session. Number 24, there's a recusal from Director Wiseman. May I hear a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We have the recusal from Director Wiseman. No abstentions. So 1 through 22 have been approved. 24 has been approved. 23 will be taken up in executive session. We'll turn to legal. And we have one item there we're going to take up now, which is the item number 1, and there's a refusal by Director Reddick. So Director Peterson has already described that in his opening remarks. Are there any questions about that? May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? We have a refusal from Director Reddick. No abstentions. And items 2, 3, and 4 will be taken up in executive session.
Chair, you're more than welcome to take 2, 3, and 4 up actually now. They're all technically on the consent agenda.
Okay.
So you're welcome to move them unless anybody wants to.
Okay. Does anybody want to have them in executive session? We're happy to have them. No? Okay, well then let's move 2, 3, and 4. May I hear a motion?
Motion
approved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any recusals or abstentions? Those were completely vetted in the executive session of the Finance Administration Operations Committee and will be in the minutes of that committee when those are, and those are available to you. Okay. Thank you. Now, is there any unfinished business? Any new business? I will entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Do we do that motion pursuant to exceptions in the Illinois Open Meetings Act, and specifically section 2C1 to discuss performance and employment of specific employees at the agency, section 2C2 to discuss collective bargaining issues, section 2C5 to discuss the acquisition of real property for the tollway, section 2C8 to discuss certain security procedures at the tollway, and section 2C11 to discuss pending litigation against the tollway.
Okay, may I
hear? I would move to go into executive session.
For a second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, thank you. For those who will not be joining us afterward, I want to wish you a very happy holiday, happy new year, congratulations on a fabulous 2014. And we will take a
10 minutes? 10 minutes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes. 10 minutes.